Hey folks, this is Haley and Shelby. And if you forgot what our voices sound like, this is what they sound like. We are back from our summer off, our summer hiatus, and welcome to episode 25 of Whiskey Reacts, where we take a look at some of our favorite forms of entertainment while drinking whiskey.
We're back, baby! Today, we are going back to our origins with a Critical Role recap. This episode will cover episodes 22 to 24, and we will catch up more on campaign 3 with our next upload, because we behind.
We got a lot of ground to cover.
We a little bit behind. we're caught up on our watches. We a little bit behind on reacting and drinking whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, I drank lots of whiskey. Real quick, what kind of fun stuff did you do during your summer hiatus?
I took an adult vacation. Oh, I think this one was my first one because I did it all by myself. No help. Nothing else was paid for by anybody else. Paid for the flight, paid for the hotel. It was a big girl hotel, the Sheraton. Oh my God. Oh, classy. Just doing big girl things out here, and it was so much fun. Like, it was really so much fun. I think I enjoyed like the fact that I did it all more than the I don't want to say
I was gonna say
it was my best friend's birthday. I'm not gonna say that. I had a really good time, but like it was so much fun just heading to my own hotel and checking in.
Like an extra layer of like, I did
like,
this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to do this more often. Yeah, so
I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm so glad.
Haley, what did you do?
I had a 10-year college reunion. Ooh. Up in Connecticut with a lot of my art school buddies. Pretty much everyone came out to celebrate. We all got really drunk.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best. We're in the middle of the woods and nowhere in Gaylordsville, Connecticut. Shout out to Gaylordsville, real town, real place.
Oh, we have a Gaylord Hotel.
Oh, here, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, although I will say Amazon has made it a new policy that the we have a certain type of container to put a lot of packages in. And it's literally like this, it's not wood, it's cardboard. It's this huge cardboard thing that we just pile packages on top of.
And Gaylord.
We call them a Gaylord. Yeah, can't do that anymore. Amazon is siding with our LGBTQ community, and we have moved on from Gaylord, and we are now calling them shuttles.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at Barnes and Noble, we still call them Gaylords. I think it's a capital G space capital L.
Ooh,
it's a fancy
a space.
I do in my mind. I make it.
Wild.
I do a reverse judo. I do a judo move. I take back the power.
That's what I keep telling my coworkers, that since I'm gay, I'm allowed to still say it.
You're like, you can't.
You can't, but I am. I'm taking my power back.
Wow, we had eventful summers.
We did. Heading into September, getting ready for the spooky season. But before that, hey, let's do our episode, Haley.
Let's talk about Critical Role. I'm currently drinking a whiskey ginger. It is the last of my Blade and Bow whiskey that I had in my bottle. So obviously it's going to taste the best. Best is always at the very bottom of the bottle.
I can't believe you still had that.
I savor it.
I need to learn how to do that. That Blade and Bow was gone.
It was good. I use other bottles to go through viciously.
That's what I need.
Yeah. You need to have two. You have to have one where you're like blow through it. One to sip and savor.
I am not drinking bourbon today.
Plot twist.
Plot twist, you guys. We are drinking scotch, baby. My birthday present from my best friend, Josh. It is the Macallan Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. 12 years old, double cask. Folks, this was expensive.
Yeah,
I have a small bottle, so I know it's expensive. No, that's high. And you know what? For scotch, it don't taste too bad.
You don't like scotch otherwise?
It's not my go-to.
Yeah.
You know, if someone offers it to me, I'm not going to be like, ugh, scotch. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, like, come on now.
Look at you. Adult vacation, drinking a 12-year-old scotch. Wow. That's a summer of growth.
It really is. I don't know who I am anymore. This is a different me. And it didn't even have to be the new year.
Say, yeah, like
Middle
halfway
year, new
through.
me.
Middle year reinvention.
Woot.
All right, let's kick off real quick with episode 22. We're gonna throw a lot at you guys today. So keep up. That sounded like a threat. It wasn't a
It
threat.
did.
I'm
It
so sorry.
sound like a threat.
I
Keep
just came
up,
back.
bitches.
That was my reinvention. I became very aggressive. I gotta say, first though, we open up with Ashley's video chat. Look how far we came from campaign one of her being rolled out on like a high school TV cart, like and a screen of her
I mean,
float up.
first it wasn't even the TV cart. First it was the laptop.
Yeah.
That's all we had was a laptop of
Look at
her
us.
on a table.
Look at us. Look
Hello?
how far we've come.
Her dropping in and out of sessions. Oh,
Your screen
Skype.
wasn't just pixels. Yeah.
Skype, what are you doing?
I loved it. I was like, wow. Also good for her. Good for you, Ashley.
Critical Role has grown as well.
Yeah. Look at all this
Growth
money you have.
all around. Most of that's mine.
Your money that you shoveled to them.
Every what couple of months? Not even.
Subscriptions, all the new
Oh,
merch drops.
look. Something new in the shop.
Yeah.
Must have, Avi.
I don't journal, but I need all their journals now.
Haven't touched it. But it's in my bookcase.
Shop at criticalroleshop.com.
We come back to find Bell's Hells having just finished the museum heist and winning the museum.
Successful.
Yes. They're on their way back. No, we're back.
I know it was more so just a recap because they kind of did like a fast pass travel to get
So we
back.
did that. They think about their win. Lana suggests sending the other team a letter saying, "So sorry for winning, ha ha ha, and torching your teammates. Hope you have a good rest of your life."
And if you thought I was threatening you earlier, then I don't know what you want to interpret that for. I think it was the laugh for me that really brought
Was like, because you didn't hear it when
Yeah.
Lana said it, but when Imogen repeated it, then you're like, oh no, that sounds bad.
That sounds real bad.
It doesn't matter what you send with that letter, that's bad. That's a bad one. Don't send that one.
Oh, man.
We're at the Spire by Fire, folks.
Yeah, we're back. And boy, did we miss it.
I did.
One of
God.
our favorites.
It really is. It really is. I would say my favorite tavern so far.
Yeah, I don't I, like because I mean, Mighty Nein kind of just bopped around the whole time. And this group is really settling in ties to Dushar. Yeah.
And to me, you have to have a go-to,
Yeah.
right? No matter who you are,
It's Fantasy Cheers.
truly.
Everyone knows your name.
No one knows the name, but Spire by Fire is still just top-notch.
Yeah. Yeah, but so when they're at the Spire by Fire, Ashton, it seems pretty chill once they get back to Jusar, until Ashton goes to sleep, and starts to have some fragmented dreams, about the burglary that they did previously for Gianna Hexam. Not right now, really, we don't really get too many lore drops, but spoiler, we definitely get some like conspiracy woo-woo theories at the end of the episode dealing with Ashton. But while he's sleeping, Classic Fern decides to touch the glowing crystally rock in their head. And all the colors start to like swirl and move, and that's totally normal. That's totally fine.
Oh, it's just that's a real problem with Fern. I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be upping your friend's business while they're sleeping. They're vulnerable, they're trusting you. But
Yeah.
because of this, we do find out something interesting, about Ashton's head. What's going on in there? Like, because what the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, a lot. A lot is up with that.
Oh, Ferd.
Yeah.
Keep being you, boo.
Keep doing you, girl.
And then it's time to head back to Hexham.
Yes, because the whole point of this museum heist and all of that jazz is to actually clear Ashton's debt with Gianna Hexam, which it was a success. I was actually very surprised that that was going to happen.
What? He thought they were gonna lose?
I didn't think it was going to be that easy. I thought there was going to be another plot twist. I thought it was going to be like one of those things where the loan shark always finds some other thing to keep you hooked. I thought it was going to be that. So I was pleasantly surprised when it was like, no, we're square. For the most part, we're square.
Yeah.
I was like,
Still don't trust
oh.
Hexum. I'm glad they got up out of there when they did. Not before some, as you said it, invasive questions to FCG by Hexum. Just weird. I was like, I'm not even there, and I felt weird.
I felt uncomfortable.
He was right to tell her to respect her bound or to respect his boundaries.
Yeah, and that you're not a good person.
Oh, right. I forgot that part.
Yeah, just in broad daylight, you're not a good person. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh man.
Getting some teeth, SCG.
Truly.
Oh.
He also called her old as well,
Yeah, because
subtly.
everyone loves to hear that. Regardless of gender,
It's
everyone loves to be called old.
very ambitious to pick up a new instrument this late in life.
The game, yeah.
Oh, thank
Oh my God.
you, FCG. Thank you.
Oh man, hanging out with Ashton quite a bit. It's rubbing off in ways that they probably don't even know.
Truly. So, oh, we also, before we leave Hexum, we get a little extra on top of our reward.
Yes.
Fern gets to take the bus that changes into your face.
Yes, as long as she can get it out of the building on her own, she can have it. So,
Didn't Ashton have to get
yeah, definitely Ashton got involved. Do you think Fern was going to carry that out? Yeah, with Ashton's help, helped. But then also before leaving Hex's place, almost like a that's so Raven mind vision kind of gets triggered by seeing this wooden container that's about the same size as the container that they remember fucking around before their memory goes blank from the failed heist that got them into all this shenanigans. So didn't even have to wait that long for even more breadcrumbs for Ash's backstory.
Don't we have a That's So Raven theme song about Imogen?
Yeah.
I forget
I don't remember.
it.
Wow.
It's been that long, folks. Don't worry, we'll bring it out on the archives.
Yeah, we'll bring you new stuff too.
So they head out, hop on a cable car. Oh, miss them. Ashton's literally reading my mind when he's like, God, I would love to have a fight on one of those. And I'm like, yes, please.
In the cable car or on top of the cable car or both? Both.
Both. Because it
Starts
has to
in.
start inside and then somehow someone ends up on top of it. Oh.
Yes. Someone gets crashed out the window, but they're able to hold on.
Hold
And instead of
on.
coming back into the cable car cab, they get to the top. Ah, yeah, obviously.
Just, oh, love to see it. Would love to see it. Obviously, we have to go back to Drusar anyways.
Just for the cable car fight, nothing else, no other
Just for
lore.
that.
Just the cable
No. It's the cable car. We shall have that fight, damn
one day.
it. But we head back to see old man Batman, Professor Ross.
Oh, love him.
It's been a while.
They
It's
find
been a
him
while.
training though. They find him training, warming up,
Ugh.
loosening up those muscles.
And it got the girls thirsty.
They were like, and I. Whoop.
I guess. Ugh.
I'm not three for sure.
No.
So imaginary. So, what are you gonna
Oh,
do?
I guess
I
they need better
guess.
tests. They need better tape. Well, I shouldn't say that because I love Old Man Batman, but my goodness, there's a lot of red flags there too.
Yeah.
You know,
For the ladies? Are you judging them?
Old Man Batman, like, yes, I love him, but we still don't really entirely know what his deal is.
Yeah, why is he doing all of this?
He's paranoid for a reason.
Yeah.
Something happened, and he's not
What the
telling us
fuck is up
what.
with that?
Yeah, exactly.
But when they get there, he informs the group that Lady Imoth's capture and interrogation has proved fruitful because pretty much spilled all the beans on Treshi and was like, what up? He's a conspirator, like a conspirator. He was in on all this shit. Possibly even in charge, at least, of what Lady Imoth was doing. And he flew the coop
Of course he did.
because that would be too easy if he was still here.
But also, you know, he's a rich asshole, so of course he lived.
He was like, I have my passport, I have my private jet, I gotta go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a bank account in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go. Mm-hmm. So, our next mission
is to hunt this son of a bitch down.
Yeah.
And kill him. I mean, bring him back. I do.
We're going hunting, boys.
Now, I always butcher this name where mm-hmm. they're going. Is it Bassarus?
Yeah, Bassarus.
I don't know why. Right. Every time like I read it, I'm like, who?
Basura? Do you want to say Basura?
I don't know what I want to say. Bassarus. But that's where they're heading because it's the home of the Paragon's Call, which is also even more shit to be found out about them.
It's just layer after layer after layer. And the party's given this crystal ball so that when they get closer, we can actually track Armand because of the ring that we somehow
got on his person.
Still don't know how that happened.
This is true Batman shit. This is like confirmed.
Oh, yeah. Now. Computer. Like
huge motherboard computer in the Batcave. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he takes a small device with him that beeps when he finds the bad guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True Batman shit.
Crazy. So Estros is like, hey, you can have my skyship, the mm-hmm. Silver Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Go find this son of a bitch.
That's exactly what he says.
That's a direct quote. bringing back blah, 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 justice, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
The city needs this. Shelby, I feel like you're probably more hyped about this. I mean, I was pretty hyped about the letter that they received for doing a good deed and bringing back Bertram Bell's body.
Okay.
I mean, I was excited.
You didn't have to bring up
an important part.
That she's my favorite. That I love her. It's like we were all excited for the letter, okay?
Yeah, but I feel like when I was watching it, I was like, how is Shelby reacting right now?
Don't call me out like this.
I'm going to call you out.
I reacted the normal amount like everyone else. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Bullshit. There's no way. There's no way. Shelby, I know you. There's no way you went, oh, really cool.
Is that how everyone reacted? Oh, really cool.
Oh, with a weak ass smile. Oh, whatever.
Well, you that's probably how everyone else reacted.
This is what I'm envisioning. You jumped out of your chair, had a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. But then realized you had to stop reacting so that you could hear the letter.
I'm not going to say
that didn't happen.
But also, I'm not going to confirm it. Okay. So we get a letter from Lady Vexalia saying that Bertram's dead body has, yes, arrived in Whitestone. Thank you for, you know, giving his body to people that he mm-hmm. kind of sort of knows. Mm-hmm. And now it's our responsibility to bury him. Yours, as always, Baroness of Whitestone, Coin Mistress of the Council of Tal'Dorei, Grand Mistress of the Grey Hunt, Lady Vexalia DeRolo.
Mm-hmm. So you had a normal reaction. Okay. We'll go with that. I'll be honest. My reaction was like, oh, that's cool. Mine was that.
I know it was. Whatever. So now that we have a new mission, it's also time to shop.
Of course.
Right? Get
always.
Ready.
Always.
To go out. I mean, we have new coin.
You got new coin. You've got a new mission. You got a new goal in life. Of course, you're going to want to go and get some shit.
Time to shop. So we head back to, Mara's? No. What's her name? Marwyn?
Marwa.
That's who it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we get a fantastic portal hole. Woo!
We get a lot of things. But yeah, the portal hole, I think, was pretty cool.
Well, I think that was the biggest one because, you know.
Yeah.
We spend some time on that puppy. So
like a makeshift bag of holding for the mm-hmm. meantime.
Which, who knew?
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The travel size. It's like a fanny pack.
Truly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then after that, right before we leave, we need to check on Milo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have to go to the Core Spire to the inside of it.
The Crook House.
Ooh, ooh. And we check on Milo, but I think they go there to also check on FCG.
And Zhidana. They drop off some gold to Zhidana. They do a little, hey, are you alive? And then, yeah, FCG wants a propeller.
Right.
To be crafted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In case, as for swimming or falling situations.
I mean, who knows? Maybe that will come in handy.
Yeah.
We don't know. But this is the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Ashton starts asking Milo some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of like jumpstart his hazy memory.
Yeah, because they talk about he was badly injured and incurred the debt, but Milo doesn't remember too much either. It said it was weirdly fuzzy, only that Milo wasn't sure if they set off a trap of some sort or they were hit with a wave that made everything kind of fuzzy and weird. And they all ran, not realizing that Ashton was left behind, which, suspicious.
It's not like everybody just runs. Like, it's that point where they scatter.
To me, it's suspicious that Ashton, we know why, because they fell and hit their head, has a hazy memory. But Milo was also kind of like, wait a minute. Well. Yeah.
Oh,
so Ashton could have been hit with that double dose. The head yeah. hit, and then also whatever this hazy bullshit is.
And everybody got hit with that, maybe.
Yeah.
And that could be why they ran.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then forgot.
Mm, who knows? I mean, it's weird shit that's happening in mm-hmm. his head. But Milo was the one that patched him up.
Yes, and put all that weird material
that he was trying to steal inside of him.
Yeah, that was like in the crystal veil.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it was liquid deutomancy, which I think is being sold on the black market.
Yeah, it was like a grayish liquid with an odd sort of
mm-hmm.
sheen or mother of pearl, which obviously makes me think of like the Luxem and deutomancy. Yeah. So, yeah.
So just like Residuum, which is like obviously being sold and sometimes probably being sold on the black market for nefarious means.
Yeah.
I think that the liquid deutomancy, which I believe the Empire has now found a way to create.
Oh, to like do a...
Because I don't think they still have, or do they? They still have one of them, don't they? Because they stole one.
Yeah.
Found another one inside the Empire. Mm-hmm. Gave back one of the Luxon
to the dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Kept one, so I think they're making liquid deutomancy.
That could be it. That's
and they're not controlling it. They're not controlling it at all because they're all evil. So, of course, some people are like, I'm going to give me some on the side.
Yeah, opportunists out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's
interesting. I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The plot thickens. We only thought that there were campaign one Easter eggs, and now campaign two is coming back. Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum.
But yeah, Ashton, at the end, though, Ashton goes through some shit because FCG and Imogen kind of do a mind dive on them.
They do the mind dive, but that's what we find out is that
Ashton, like, freaks out.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
Where, like, FCG has to cast calm emotions to, like, level them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ashton, when they wake up, just was like, let me just smash my head into the wall. And then next day, like, let's leave. Like, totally wants to disassociate from the whole thing.
There's something inside of him.
Yeah.
That he had no control being put inside of him. I'd be upset too.
I don't know, but what if it saved them?
I guess, to some extent,
I'd be like, oh shit.
But it still was not like without his permission.
Yeah.
They have no idea what it was. Like, this was a complete experiment. Yeah, he has cool powers, but like, this was super invasive. Like, this was, like, would someone like Ashton, who likes autonomy, who like, I don't need anybody, I don't want anybody,
mm-hmm.
and to save his life, they did this to him? Ah, bro. I wouldn't be surprised if later on, enough money, enough allies. Like, mm-hmm. he wrecks shit a little bit just out of, like, anger.
Against the nobodies?
Either against, or, like, it's going to come out in a way where they're like, I'm going to fuck some people up because of this. You know? Just, like, who's ever, like, near him when he has the capability to mess somebody up. It could be the nobodies. He could blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could blame Hexham. Like, even though their deal is like, done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you and I both agreed. Like, there's definitely something else going on with Hexham.
Oh, yeah. Coming back to that later.
On to episode 23.
Yes. Episode 23. In honor of this being the last episode with Laura Bailey with her purple hair, I came up with a quick little parody song for the occasion.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's the first time I'm also hearing it, so I'm excited.
Yes. purple hair, Laura's got purple hair, and it looks fucking good. Purple hair, I'm a big emotive stan, and you hear that in your hand. And that's it.
Wow. That's
the song.
Wow.
Did you like that?
If I was on The Voice, I would have turned my chair around.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Compliment of the highest order. So, we open up episode 23 with a little bit of Chetney chaos.
Oh, Chetney. And sliding down a chimney, no less, into the Prism Emporium. And flashbacks to that Christmas one shot.
Oh, oh, man. Travis goes back to terrorize the shopkeeper because he paid too much for his wood carving kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goes a little, in my mind, out of hand.
I think we need to blame the dice for this, though.
Yeah, but still.
You know, they were rolling on his side. I don't think he would have gone as far as he did if the dice weren't nudging him to keep going.
Yo, bone was exposed.
Oh. He's full transformed into a werewolf and attacked her about high prices.
Yeah.
Like, when we're scared of the werewolf in your party, like, wolfing out, this is not what we thought maybe, it would be.
Maybe it hit me on another level because I work retail, and I guess the fear of, like, a customer getting wildly out of hand for something I can't control or do. Maybe, well, that's why.
She could. Those were her prices. So
yeah, but I mean,
it's not like she's
that's under a reaction.
Umbrella Corporation is like, hey, told me that the prices are the prices.
Just trying to make a living, yo.
Yeah. And then, like, tried to, like stand by it. Like, that's not something you, you stand your high ground for. Like, back down real fast.
But then, worse off, Chetney's like, before leaving, he's like, don't worry, I'll come back. I would close up shop and I would leave.
It's like, we're done. I'm done. Yeah. I don't need it.
Yeah. And then just goes back to the Spire by Fire and goes to sleep. No regrets.
After that nat one exit.
Yeah.
I was.
No regrets.
I laughed and cried.
To all of the above.
It was really good.
All right. I gotta be honest. I love Fern. But who the hell thought it was a good idea for Fern to be, like, in charge of items or inventory?
Great idea.
And with the portable.
Great idea.
No less.
Great idea. Great idea.
They're going to buy something one day and try and put it in the portable hole. And then Matt's going to be like, it's full. And they're like, what? We haven't put that much stuff in. And then Fern's like, I stole a bunch of stuff.
I put all my things in there.
It's just trinkets and bullshit galore.
Fern, get these things out.
Yeah.
Because, like, most of
episode useless. 100, just like, she turns it one way and it's just like a waterfall of all this tchotchke bullshit.
I do love that we spent 20 minutes figuring out, like, the ins and outs of the porthole in, like, true D&D fashion. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, what a.
Yeah, what if it was something where, like, you think without testing all of the parameters, you're like, oh, cool, I put all this stuff in, and then you go to take it back, and Matt's like, you can't find it. So, yeah.
No, I get that part, but that would have taken the 5 minutes.
Yeah, the 20.
We spent 20 minutes figuring out, like, so, like, if we could transport the portable hole while open, would we need to build a wooden platform? And that was in minute 15.
Yeah.
I was like, this is all stuff that we could be thinking out in our heads.
Yep.
Later on. But yes, we're good to go. It's next morning. We are satisfied with what we've researched with the portable hole. And so yes, now it's time to go to the airship that Lord Estros has so kindly lent to us for our mission.
Yeah, and I think he said they have, well, it's free for about a month. So that kind of gives them a timeline of like, they have a month to do this, or even just a month to dick around with a skyship.
Yeah. Well, they, it's not even like it's free for a month. That's all they have with it, because their next run isn't like after the month. And then they have to go, you know, do what they do for Lord Estros to continue making money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we board the skyship called the Silver Sun, and we meet Captain Zandis.
Yeah. Which,
listen, immediate love.
These accents. I'm looking for it. It was like, are we playing Skyrim right now?
it's a little bit like bit like North American, a little bit something else. I mean, if you were, Haley, if you were to try and pinpoint this accent, how would you do that?
Oh, it sounds like someone's doing a Norse accent without any point of reference. I'm so sorry, Matt Mercer, but without any
I think it's on purpose because it's
point
amazing.
Of reference. Yeah. it's vague Scandinavian of what century? I don't know.
Heading to the Hellcatch Valley. Oh boy.
Yeah. And you know you're only gonna have fun in a place called the Hellcatch Valley, and there's no dangers ever.
And then the captain saying, like, well, we generally avoid this area.
We don't go here.
I can't be your expert here. And then I love how Zandis acknowledges that the party is wild, and then after a little bit, like, meets the energy.
Yeah.
Like later on down the travels.
Oh, this is what we're doing.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning of the next episode, that like with the encounter that happens, there's a lot of like, yeah, I don't know, let's do it.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know, but yeah.
I don't know, no questions asked. That's not the accent either, but you know what?
Yeah.
Matt can't do it, then what?
Who are
who
we?
Can? Yeah.
Like, this is a Matt-specific accent. I don't think anyone else can do it.
I don't know what it is, my God. Yeah.
But we travel along the Hellcatch Valley. We have our travel time. We're rolling those travel dice. And listen, folks. You think this might be tedious now, but enjoy it, because soon we won't have this anymore. Instead, Fern will probably get travel via plants, aka the tree hop. So
and just boop, boop, boop.
Yeah. And the way Matt describes the Hellcatch Valley, like, it's exciting. Like, I'm excited. Let's get in there. Let's find out what that is. Sinkholes that just randomly collapse and then come back together. And then we hear for the first time things called crawlers, crawler gangs.
No, thank you. I don't know what any of that is.
You said, no, thank you.
I said, no, thank you.
I had the exact opposite reaction. I was like, what are those?
No, I said, no, thank you. Crawlers? In my D&D game? Creepy crawlers? I think not. I don't want that. It was like a sack of shit.
So, no. It's travel time, and eventually someone rolls
terrible.
And we get attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haley, what do we get attacked by? Because these are new. These are new monsters.
It was, is it ski wrath? Ski wrath hunters?
That's exactly what they are. I don't know why I laugh, but like at first like, I thought you were gonna call them like ski balls, and I almost felt like
it was down the Jersey Shore. We went to the ski balls
and we're seaside heights. Ski ball hunters.
No, ski rats. They're almost like sand manta ray type things with also porcupine spikes and shit. So great.
There's danger everywhere.
Yeah,
there is no safe place.
They're carnivorous. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh,
been poisoned. What the hell? Sorry. I just like started going, remembering all the bullshit.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can see it in your eyes. Like, you're just like, this is bad. They're all bad. They're just so bad.
You're the worst.
But I also wanted to ask, besides the furniture, have we faced anything in this campaign that has not been a homebrew creature?
Oh, I don't think so. Other than like general like soldiers or guards or like, you know, like.
Yeah, I didn't count those.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Right? They're all been like, they've all been just.
So far, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does the wall mimic count? Because like, ooh, yeah, it's a mimic, but
I'm sure he homebrewed some shit with that.
I haven't found for a wall mimic, have you?
No, let me.
It had a dice that allowed them to do like technically a breath weapon.
Yeah.
Right? That he could roll for?
Yeah, that was definitely some sort of like.
Yeah. Haven't seen those in my travels. Haven't rolled that.
Yeah. Thank God.
I haven't rolled that on my travel table.
Just be afraid of walls forever.
Yes. This afraid of walls forever.
Yeah.
This is the first skyship battle since campaign one. And I just have to say the ship that was put down was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, you love to see it, folks. Battle maps in this campaign have not missed.
No, there has been all hits, no misses, no skips.
Mm-hmm. No skips here, folks. Just so cool. So cool. A good battle map, folks, gets you excited to get whomped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what a good battle map does for you.
Damn, I'm dying here. All right.
Yeah. Did I just fall unconscious on this beautiful, beautiful tile?
All right, cool. Sure, why not?
Love to see it.
Your character's face down. Love to see it.
You love to see it. Oh, you love to see it. Combat edition. What are some things that popped up for you?
Oh, I like the whenever someone tries to do a creative move, I like that Fern tried to do speak with animals to talk to it. And then Matt was like, nope.
I was like, not an animal.
Which made it even scarier.
It reminds me of I think her name was Jan in The Good Place, and they kept calling her a woman, not a woman.
Oh, I never watched.
It's for anyone who's seen The Good Place. That's the meme I'm thinking of, because like I think this is like the second time Fern's done speak with animals or something, and that's like not an animal.
Yeah,
not an animal. A monster. Aberration.
I like that. I love when someone kind of like tries to do something non-combat, or even like not like something that's not debuffing or buffing another person.
Oh yeah.
So it was like points for that. It didn't seem on brand with Fern, because Fern's all about chaos. So
truly.
But I was,
ma'am, where are your burning hands?
Yeah, I thought that felt like an FCG move.
You know, she keeps us on our toes.
Yeah. True.
Ash's new rage ability.
Oh, like the space portal.
Oh, what? Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. You gave a barbarian a chance to hit from distance?
Yeah.
Sir.
Sir. I need you to step aside, sir.
Wonderful. I love that he has to roll for it, though. Like, he might not get it. And I don't think he has so far.
I think that was the first time.
No, that was the first time, but spoiler alert. In the other future episodes, he has not gotten it yet.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So rare, but it's like, that's how you balance it out, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though I want to see it again, throw for it, but it's pretty fucking cool. Well, I thought that Imogen holding on to the fly spell until it was narratively good pull it up. It's like, we're not watching someone who's playing a sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching someone who's finding out what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's such a gift. Instead of like, oh, they're the next level, so of course she has fly. It's, oh shit, you have fly. And then so we're all pulled into like, oh shit, I didn't know you had fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's also described, like, I think what buys into it is their reaction at the table, because I don't think she told anyone, and she didn't just use it just to be like, oh, I have a new spell. Everyone was like, oh, we had no idea that, you know, you had that. And then also Matt's description of how she brings Orm back up onto the ship. And like, we get Travis's, Magneto touchdown. And then we get Marisha's, she's starting to believe a moment. And so like all of that just adds on to the fact that like with Imogen, it's more of like her finding out like what she can do. I like that. And then I have some honorary mentions.
Go for it.
Thank you. Every time Imogen does psychic damage, I want the cast to say brain stuff.
Brain.
FCG asks, Fern, do you want to heal the crew member? No. I barely know her. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Fern. And then, of course, does anyone want eyeball soup? Fern takes the dead Ski Ross eye. Smells a little citrusy. So, you know, of course you have to add it to the crew dinner.
Yeah, but I mean, those things were poisonous. I would not think that. I would think, yeah, but where's the poison gland? Is the whole thing poisonous? I'm just going to eat this eyeball now?
We're going to find out. I've never had citrusy soup before.
Oh, it's okay.
Is it? You have?
I've had it where, like, there's a citrus, like, taste to it. Not like it's not like orange soup.
Like, what was it?
It was like a squash, and it had a bit of, like, a citrus to it. It was a
Never had squash in my life. Huh. Yes?
Zucchini? You've never had zucchini?
I said what I said.
Zucchini?
No.
Oh.
But also, no one's ever, like, I'm not going to a restaurant and saying, can I get a zucchini dish? And no one's ever made it, so I'm like, okay. I don't think I'm missing out.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah, thank you.
We went on a tangent.
No, it's not that. I don't think I'm emotionally ready for the next scene.
Oh.
As I laugh. I'm glad you find my devastation hilarious. So.
Yeah, what happens? I don't remember.
I have to do this scene? You're forcing me to describe this scene?
If you want it to be done sensitively, yeah. Wow. I'm currently laughing my ass off right now, so yeah.
Okay. The one scene. So, of course, during our travel days, we usually have one-on-ones with characters, deep connections, you know, those conversations that parties have to strengthen their bonds. And that's where I thought was happening here.
Mm-hmm.
When Imogen and Lana decided to have a private talk on the deck of the Silvered Sun. Fun fact, folks, this scene ruined my entire life and it only took 10 minutes.
That's true. Looking back on it, it wasn't that long of a scene.
So Imogen wants to talk about the Gnaw Rock that she's been clutching ever since she grabbed it off of the Shade Mother. And just a little recap, this is the same Gnaw Rock that we all presume that changed the Shade Mother into what she was, and Imogen's had it ever since. And yes. You know, Imogen sort of, she's been a little possessive about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think even at one point FCG kind of clocked her sleeping, like, and clutching it in her hands even when she was asleep.
So Imogen wants to talk to Lana about it, and they do. Lana suddenly gets this feeling inside her chest about the rock, like a warning signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the warning signal feels like a pulse. This was so masterful, Matt, because I don't know if you clocked it, but I had no idea.
I didn't either.
I just thought because she was dead,
mm-hmm.
like maybe she had like her arcaneness is linked to like dark magic, powerful magic, or just like.
I just thought they were both, because they're both sorcerers.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was something in that vein.
Yeah. Maybe since she's not attuned to it, she could detect it and Imogen couldn't. And that's where I thought this was going. And it, you know, it kept going.
Yeah.
Those pulses, those signals. So, of course, Lana asks to see the rock. Why wouldn't she? She wants to make sure it's safe for her friend. And Imogen says, well, yeah, I'll give it to you because I trust you. But, you know, promise not to do anything to it. Of course, Lana promises. Of course,
they're best friends.
Like, there's no reason to believe anything will happen here.
Yeah.
Until Lana touches that fucking rock and we hear that evil, evil woman inside her head. And that's when it all starts to fall apart, folks. Delilah Briarwood says a couple of things, and I'm not even going to repeat what she says. Just know that when Delilah speaks, it's bad, folks.
It's bad.
And so Lana starts feeling a power surging through her hand, through her arm, and inside her chest. She starts to feel it. And so she, of course, like wants to drop it, can't drop it, tells Imogen, I can't, something's happening. Take the rock, but it's too late.
Yeah.
She opens her hands And the energy, the magic from the rock is obviously gone.
Yeah,
It's
zapped.
dead. And Imogen's look of betrayal, I think, hurt something inside of me.
I'm gonna let you keep going because I have thoughts about this whole thing.
You don't want to interject?
I don't right
Are
now.
you sure?
Okay. So Lagna clearly said several times, like, it's like something is happening, like that she cannot control before the rock gets like zapped, before it gets broken, if you will. So
No, I
like,
see where you're going.
I don't understand why the reaction was that big of
And
a betrayal. But then I
I
also
have.
understand that it was probably whatever magical hold was on the rock as
That's what
well.
it was.
Like, or like
Yes.
cold turkey
Because
off of it.
we don't know what it's doing to Imogen at that point because, like, she's not going to say it. It's something that's probably going to be acted out later, you know, because that's the genius of Laura Bailey. It was going to surprise us. And we're going to be like, oh shit, she has the rock. And that's why she's acting like this. You know, it's going to be building, 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 like subtle changes. That's why, like, because I believe that if Imogen was in her right mind, there's no way. Like, come on.
Yeah, that was such a
There's,
huge.
it was huge. It was huge. But we, like, I feel like we saw it coming, though, just because we know that the Gnarl Rock is bad. So there's no way, like even you said, she was acting possessive over it. No one was trying to take your fucking rock. Why do you have it in your hand still? You know? And so, like, easy. This bitch is about to erupt. I got scared. When the power of the when she opened her hand and the magic was gone, I was like, oh my God.
It's not gonna be good.
Oh no. Looks to Laura. And then she killed me. I'm just saying, I saw it. Fuck. I was gone. Like, I was fully outside of my body screaming at the TV. She didn't mean to. She didn't mean to do it. It was Delilah. Someone come. Someone kill this bitch. Someone call Vex'ahlia. We have to kill her.
Yeah, but then my thought is if that raises so many questions of like if Laudna isn't tethered to her, like does Laudna cease to exist as a
I know
living creature? Like, you know what
that's
I
the
mean?
burning question that I hope we don't find out one day, but we will.
Because it's the show that it is. We'll
But
find out one day.
now that we're talking about that, what do you think the magic of the Nara did? Because
Oh, I
afterwards we
think
heard a
it.
heartbeat.
Yeah, I think if it is indeed Delilah's like piggybacking on Laudna in terms of like life
Parasite.
essence, I think it probably just gave her a little more of her own energy as opposed to feeding off of whatever Laudna might have. I think it might have given her a little bit of her own sort of magic to kind of like harvest and
Oh yeah.
possibly manifest and grow. That's what I
Absolutely.
think.
Yeah, no. I also believe that whatever fight was coming instead of happening at a higher level is now probably has been exponentially cut and we're probably seeing this confrontation a little bit sooner than we would have liked.
And I think, I mean, there's also potential, like, I don't know if they find other sources of magic, like, is Laudna just gonna have to not touch it or be
Touch
afraid
it.
to touch it? Like, because
Yeah.
is
Well, because
Delilah gonna
she
somehow?
has magic items.
So it's not everything.
I think it has to be certain things that can change you as a like as a humanoid, as a creature. It has to be able, it has to be something. And I don't think there's a lot of stuff that can do that, so thank God. And I don't think I like how rare the Gnarl Rock is and how rare something of that nature can do that to you. Like, it would have to be some kind of operation like Ashen's to where
head.
we, yeah, to where we would see something like that again. And but that's why I feel like that moment is so important.
And the rock came from the Feywilds. It was vaguely known to like mutate the area and turn it into a nightmarish sort of environment. So I mean, it's clearly some really powerful shit. And the fact that they had just like a smaller shard of it, like who knows? Like, there's probably stuff from other realms too that could trigger
Oh,
Delilah
yeah.
and other things. But like to also add that this is some Feywild shit where everything is chaotic and is not good.
Not good. Just not good.
Not
None
good
of it's
shit.
good. And that's how I felt right now. Not good. Not good at all. And that's where they ended the episode. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
And that's episode 23, folks.
Is that your favorite episode?
How dare you? We will go to 24.
Okay. Episode, that's how you feel
24,
about it.
We'll see how AKA rah rah rah. What did Matt say? Aurora.
Oh no.
Like how many like scripts have you read today where your mind is just
like blah, yeah.
Cause like I've done that before where like I've been reading the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone asked me to read something like out loud, real simple shit.
Yeah.
Like in my communications class, and I'm like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, I've taken
that's over what I read.
I've taken over scheduling for like a few of the stores in our area instead of just our store. So I'm like staring at all these spreadsheets and like all these people's names and like time inputs. And then someone was like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, huh? What? Or even reading numbers off of a register. I was like,
yeah.
You owe me money. That on top of my dyslexia, like it's bad. It's a bad combo. I digress.
Because I know that's rough.
Gotta get that money.
It only happens to me when my brain has been like logged down really, with shit, yeah. And I don't know what I'm looking at. But I listen. Salute to you. I couldn't deal with that every single day because I would put my head through a fucking wall.
I'm that meme of that woman with all the math symbols.
Yeah.
And just for like basic things. Anywho.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's the next morning after my own personal calamity.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still on the skyship. But it's the final day before we reach Phosphorus. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you have me doing it. I was fine.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
So we roll again on the travel table. Haley, what did we get?
So Aurum, waking up as he does. Love that guy. That wasn't even irony. I actually do love him now. He's one of my favorites. Well, you're not going to want to hear who my least favorite is. So
I know who it is, bitch. And that's why we need to do these together. We balance it out. Because my favorite's your least favorite. And my least favorite's your favorite.
Well, he's not my favorite. It's okay. We're taking a quick break before we even start episode 24. My favorite is Laudna. But Aurum is my second favorite.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, who would have thought? Not me.
Not me. Because you are not a boring person. So I don't know where this is coming from.
There's a part of me that is. So, next morning. Aurum wakes up, and what do his halfling eyes see?
I hate myself for laughing at that. He should start saying that. His perception is as high as Legolas. Like,
plus, as long as he's holding that shield, which he's never going to get rid of, and vanish.
Yeah. What do my halfling eyes see, DM?
I wouldn't. I'd hold that thing on forever.
You're at dinner. It's yes. Still here.
I'm eating off the plate, off that shield.
It's my table tray. Yeah. I'm eating in front of the TV.
Off of yours. Oh, damn. I love that shield. Anyway. His halfling eyes see a shadowy figure underneath, which turns out to be some big-ass danger. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. But then it gets fucking wild.
And gets worse.
It gets worse. It gets so worse. Oh, what was that thing even called? Adustra?
Yes, Adustra. A huge ass sand squid creature with large tentacles, a massive mutated cephalopod covered in spines. And then its mouth was, when it opened it, it split into four different jaw openings. Not to mention its third eye in the middle of it.
So this is like a side note. One of my legitimate fears in life are squids and octopus. Octopi. Cephalopods in general. So when he started describing this, I used to think, like, I've dialed back my irrational fear a bit, but I used to be like, have dreams of like squids coming through the toilet, like while I'm on the toilet. Like I used to have irrational fears of them like crawling through the pipes. They're gonna pop out of my sink, like
because they can move through and
they're
whatever.
Intelligent. They're very intelligent creatures.
I hate them. I didn't used to be scared of them until I watched the movie Life.
Oh no!
And the alien isn't a squid, but it it had features and traits of a squid to where it could move through any like tunnel or opening. Like it was kind of like it was boneless, and then the way it could grab onto you,
no,
and just hold on and then just cover you. That's what I think squids do now, and now I'm afraid. Like it didn't used to be. I'd be like, I look at a squid and be like, wow, how do they make that into a tasty, tasty fried calamari? Now I see a squid and I'm like, oh, that's a dangerous motherfucker.
I know
where also, my favorite I'm fascinated.
I was at a museum once and like the tank that the squid was in was completely black and it was a pretty big squid.
Did it ink?
Yeah, it inked. And so like my dumb ass goes up to the tank. I'm like, oh. And then all of a sudden just phew, like a flash, I just see the fucking like eyes of it just like go back. And I was like, boom, hit the tank. And it, the fact that I didn't shit myself is my greatest achievement in life.
How old were you?
I was probably like 5 or 6. I was yeah.
No. No, I get it.
It was either a squid or an octopus. I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
There should be no shame there. Like, no shame. Like, at 5?
Yeah.
No. Now you're traumatized for life.
So when Matt's talking about this, I'm like, well, I don't know how much longer I can watch this episode.
Thank God it wasn't an actual fight, or you would have been fucked.
Yeah, I would have been, oh my God. I've been hyperventilating on the couch watching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they get crafty and they get creative, and I gotta say, thank God.
Yeah, I like the fact that they didn't immediately try to take it out. They were just all like, well, that's because of Xandus. This is weird.
Yeah, you like know? This isn't normal behavior.
Yeah, so they get harpoons, stick it onto the Destra, raise it up a little bit, and then of course Imogen flies down to have a totally normal telepathic communication with said Destra.
Mm-hmm.
And which then we find out, Destra pissed. Destra mad.
Yeah. Where are my children? What happened? There was some big ass explosions. And you're like, oh shit, there's going to be some like smuggler bullshit.
So, yes. Immediately thought the caravan had the children. Immediately thought they did. And I'm just like, drop him. I don't know. The Destra. Drop the Destra. Let the Destra do their thing.
Yeah.
Move on. That's not smart. We don't know who did this.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of them doing that, Imogen goes back up to tell everybody what's going on. And then this is the moment where I was all like, Xandus meets energy.
Mm-hmm.
Xandus was all like, oh, I have an idea. Let's airlift it.
Yeah.
And take it away.
I've never done that before.
Yeah.
The ship can do that. Let's find out.
What do you mean? What? Excuse me?
No. That's okay. Captain.
Just, top 5 NPC for me. Sorry. Oh, top really? 5. Top 5. I of hope
campaign
we get more
3
scenes.
Or all over?
All over.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, we come up with this plan. We execute said plan.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't always happen, so... kudos.
Yeah. Greatness. Lana and Imogen have to work together even though the girls are still fighting.
Awkward.
So awkward. But they successfully get the Destra away from the caravan. And this is also the episode that birthed the flesh tongue.
Don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have thankfully not seen any art of this, but I know it's out there.
Don't look.
Don't search.
Don't search for it.
Be careful.
Not your tongue. Yeah. Google's not your tongue.
Google's not your tongue. We arrive in Bassaras. Haley?
I mean, immediately confronted by a gang.
Because it's Bassaras.
Yeah, sure. And then that's when Ashton steps up. Because when in doubt, Ashton will deal with it.
Or he's the local.
Yeah. Have you crime before? Okay. He literally, they just give their name and they're like, all right, follow suspicious. They let him go.
Well, this is the first time we actually have a close-up with an actual crawler.
Yeah.
The vehicle these gangs use to travel and do crime with. Technically it's a bike.
Yeah.
Made up of parts with a spiked wheel in front, but the back has legs like a mechanical beast.
Yeah, it's wild.
So fun, though. It looks fun to me.
It looks dangerous.
I mean, it is.
See, this is the part that makes sense that I like Orm. I'm like, that's dangerous.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because that's what Orm's definitely saying. And I'm like, oh, we got to get one of these bad boys.
I need it.
We need one of these bad boys for sure.
Put it on the cable car. Write it on the cable car site.
Put it on the list. So we head into Bastyrus, which is surrounded by a red wall, huge wall. Mm-hmm. But like everything in the city, like, again, combat maps haven't missed, but neither have the cities in Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matt describing this town, like outside you have like various tents, but also like huge war machine crates that people have used to for their phones. And then getting inside the city, you see like buildings that are old, but buildings that are new, but everything looks like it's been cobbled together. But instead of like just trash, it looks like a metalsmith went to the junkyard and turned it into a piece of art. And I'm like, oh, fuck yes.
I got like Mad Max vibes all over.
Oh, for sure. He, 100%. Like, it wasn't subtle. He wanted us to know the theme here.
Yeah.
And we got it. We got it. Okay. he wanted us to know the assignment.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, also new word that we got and new sort of like fantasy setting that isn't centered around what we, you know, what we know or what we spend a lot of time on. We head to a caravan. Oh, I think I did it wrong.
Caravansary?
I think I missed an S, but I spelled it C-A-R-A-V-A-N-E-R-A-I. Caravanai?
Caravansar. I don't know, but I'm going to keep saying it wrong.
Damn it. And I wrote it down because it was one of my favorite things about the city. Like, instead of it being like one part in, one part bar, it's one part in, one part shopping mall with a large courtyard in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So think like resort hotels that you go to that have like multiple like restaurants. Shops.
Yeah.
But shops
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You got your convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
You got your gift shops, but you also have like literal like a Gucci in there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have. That's amazing. Mall. Amazing. Along with the Salamagunda Strip,
mm-hmm.
which was basically the strip. Like it had everything, and I was just like, like these are professionals here, because had this been my home game, I was like, yeah, we got to get Arm on Tressie, but we're spending at least one full night in this strip. We're doing it all. We're seeing everything on this strip.
If it was my game, I'd be like, ignore this. Don't look over here.
These are temptations.
Devil beguiles you.
Distractions abound.
No, see, I would be the DM who has them and be like, oh yeah, sure, you can do that. And then be like, okay, now we're going to do our objective. I'm like, well, you waited too long.
Yeah.
Some shit went down.
Yeah.
It's now 10 times harder.
I would have spent the night in the strip. I wouldn't have spent days
a year.
Okay. Calm down, folks. Calm down.
A whole year.
We also get another heartbreaking scene between Lana and Imogen. When Lana's all like, oh, this reminds me when we found Zuzana's place. And me impassive, like, I bet. That look was cold and cutting.
Yep.
Hurt. Really hurt. Let's move on to the Raja Den, please.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you, please. Thank you. That's where they spend the night. Their own little gift shop hotel, where they find a place, get some food, look at the ball, and see that Armand Tressie is here.
Yep. And not moving or leaving the area, so they're not as alarmed in terms of having to keep like being on track of him.
The next morning we get another chutney gift for Ladna, and it is a house for Pate and Shishimi.
Yeah, look at that. Who would have thought?
This scene was a gift for us as well.
Yeah.
Because Chetney's little, they can make their own story. And then Londa's, stop looking at me. Just, oh, beautiful.
Love it. Tears. Tears in my eyes.
So they figure out their next steps while they're following their little crystal ball. When?
Yeah. So, I mean, enter the stage. Everyone's favorite. Erica, what up?
Finally at the actual fucking table. Erica and Chetney. Fuck yeah.
Were you excited?
Oh, dude. Screamed.
Yeah.
And I said, about time.
I assumed at some point would have made the rounds. I didn't know it was going to be immediately.
Took, no, like.
It was in the campaign. Once they announced the premise that they were going to have spots, I was like, well, of course they're going to be on it soon.
I feel like Erica should have been here.
Already.
Been here, bruh.
Been here, done that.
Should have been, honestly, should have been in campaign one. Like, let's be honest. They've known this woman for years.
Yeah.
Great tabletop role player. Mm-hmm. Great. Has some real, like, genius shit. And if you guys haven't seen her in anything else, you really need to check them out on, obviously, Cinderbrush.
Mm-hmm.
You check them out on Dimension 20. They're in The Seven. They're in the one where Matt's in. Misfits and Magic, the one that Matt's in where they play like the villains of the Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff. Oh, and of course, the big one, Vampire Masquerades.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, they have a stat resume for a reason. Check out Erica Ishii, folks.
Yeah, check out the receipts.
But back to the game.
Yeah.
So, Erica Ishii is being assaulted by a gang.
As we find out, a mysterious elf is being assaulted. They describe them as like kind of slight frame,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
sort of dark brown hair, K-pop style was thrown out. I love that. I love that for them.
And hey, roll initiative.
Yeah, roll initiative as five attackers immediately roll up on this elf who asks for help.
Ashton, this is shitty bullshit. Runs. Oh, guess we're attacking.
Yeah,
let's go, folks. I love how everybody else in the street was just walking past it,
just whatever,
none of my business.
I don't care.
Yeah, looks like it's happening again.
So then the new elf, which we come to find out is named Dusk, so I'm just gonna drop that now rather than keep saying the elf.
The elf.
Yeah. Dusk immediately, boom, Thunderstep says, I'm getting the hell out of here up to a rooftop.
They were getting wrecked.
Yeah.
Erica was all like, I come in your house and you unceremoniously attack me? Wild. What did you love to see it?
Combat edition. Love to see it.
Some of your points. Yeah. What are some of the things you love to see?
Bald Imogen.
Like, everybody loved to see it. Oh, this God. Is what happens when you choose chaos, because these are voluntary.
Yeah.
They do not happen to you. You're like, oh
yeah,
I want it.
I loved the moment though when Chetney threw his cap to her, because he was like, even in combat, how cute. Love that.
Love that for them.
Love it. But that was my favorite.
Also, did you check out Orm giving, like, stabilizing one of the bad guys?
Yeah.
God, sure, whatever.
Wow, okay.
They were about to kill one person.
I'm gonna remember that the next time I say something blasphemous about Imogen. I'm gonna remember
that. Was it really blasphemous to say, like, dog, what are you doing? Let them bleed out. They were about to kill one person for their stuff.
Yeah, but that's very much him. It makes sense. It
doesn't mean I have to like it.
I didn't say you had to like it.
It's not blasphemous.
That was quite the reaction. You rolled your eyes. No one else but me saw that. So can you do it again?
Do it again.
Well,
can you use your action to help us, bro? Action surge. No. Don't use your action surge to help me. Use your action.
I'm gonna remember that.
Remember it.
Remember my name.
Also, we get another use of Silvery Barbs here, which I love that spell.
Oh, so,
like,
good.
Ever since it came out, I've been like, gotta get it, need it, and no, everybody should have it.
Yeah.
And like, if you're a bard, a sorcerer, you get the spell.
I'm playing an arcane trickster rogue and I'm like, yep,
you have it.
Yeah, I do.
Get the spell. If you can, if you can get that spell, get the spell.
Yeah.
Because it is so underrated.
And never
so
look back.
Like, listen, I give you disadvantage and then give one of my homies advantage with that spell. And it's, what is it, second level?
First?
Get it.
Let me confirm. It. You keep going, but let me confirm.
Get it.
First level enchantment, baby.
Come on now.
Hell yeah.
Get it together. If you do not have Silvery Barb, start over.
Start the whole campaign over.
Kill your character. Start over.
Kill your character. Make it the exact same build.
Take Silvery Barb.
Same personality.
That's your Barb. That's your twin.
That's your homework assignment.
Yeah, Silvery Barb. Of course, one of my favorite moments. It will always be Imogen centric.
Did you hear it in your head?
She chose chaos, so of course she turned bald.
Yep.
But it might have been like either this move or the next move where she takes out two people. And we have this weird dichotomy. It was this move because we have this weird dichotomy where we are laughing because she just went bald.
Mm-hmm.
But also like terrified.
Oh, like, was it her lightning bolt move?
Yeah, she took out two people. And then the dude who's running, she's like, I use my bonus action to be like, yeah, you better run. Whoa!
Wait a minute.
Woo! That the NPC in Matt's second campaign. Whoa! And I don't think anyone caught it because everybody was like super concerned about Ashton, who just like fucked Wrecked. With Phantasmal yeah. Killer.
Yeah.
She turned to Orm and was all like, I might have taken that a little far. Doesn't even have the rock. So we can't even blame it.
Yeah, unless it's just
blame it on the rock.
Yeah. Residual rock powers. I don't know. I didn't like it. Ooh. It scared me.
No one liked that.
I was concerned.
Ooh, one more. Sam's use of command to force the regular Noel to monologue.
Yeah.
Listen, command is my favorite when it comes to them because they're so creative
with it. Mm-hmm.
So creative. Just some good moments. And that's why we love to see it.
Yeah.
Fight's done. And so, hey, Dusk, what the fuck is up with you?
Dusk is like, hey, don't remember a lot of stuff like where I'm from. But know what's great? The Feywild. Proceeds to just talk about the Feywild and this glen that they were in.
Just super fuzzy on anything like real about them.
And everyone said, okay, sure. We'll accept that. We've already got Ashton doing that thing. You know what?
Why wibbly not? Wobbly, timey wimey stuff, as the doctor would say. Feywild does that to you. We get it.
Yeah,
they're like, we get it. It's the Feywild. We have Fern, who chose at that moment
to not be part of the conversation.
Got high real quick.
Real quick, went to this tent to suss it out and was like, oh, what's going on here? And there's this old lady just high as a fucking kite, eating all her munchies,
taking her lunch.
And then Fern is like, I like your style.
Then proceeds to take the stuff in the tent.
Yeah, and then says, good luck with that. Then leaves.
Yeah. Oh, what else did I leave in here?
Yeah, this bitch.
And then finally meets Dusk, and they talk about the Feywild. Oh, after she introduces Mister and says, well, I'm just a single mother.
I'm a single mom. Doing the best that she can. And Mister was like, I don't like this person.
Mister was not having it. Mister did not like Dusk at all.
But through the art of distraction, they all decide, through a lot of talk, we should go to that place, the Taste of Tal'Dorei that everyone's talking about. The same restaurant, you know?
This is a conversation that needs to happen while we're eating, because would they be the Bell's Hells?
If they weren't at some sort of tavern or restaurant? No.
Mm-hmm. Especially after a fight.
Yeah.
Listen, these are just our Bell's Hells.
Yeah. This is who we got.
And that, folks, is the end of episode 24.
Wow. We did it. We did it. We got through a lot of roller coaster moments.
Oh, man. Thoughts? Concerns?
Lots of concerns. Always.
Insights.
Insight checks. What was your favorite part out of all three? Because we're doing all three. Do you have a favorite part?
Oh, for sure. The fight.
Yeah, me too.
The fight between Imogen and Lana, and even though it racked me, God, that was acting.
Because it hit, yeah. I agree. I know I was laughing earlier and teasing, like, but yeah, that was crazy.
We were all Ashley Johnson in that moment.
Yeah. Surprise Pikachu face. Mouth that. Like,
mouth wide and open.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I agree.
I don't care for years.
Preserved forever.
Oh, hilarious. But yeah, that's how we all were. Because, like, that's why we watched this show. Like,
yeah.
If we were just watching it for the D&D, I would have turned off years ago. Like, because, like, that no fault.
Spice.
Yeah, like, no fault to their own. But they're an all white person crew rolling dice. Like, listen. And if I just wanted to watch D&D, there's, like, tons of shit I can watch.
Yeah, there are other avenues.
Watch it for the drama.
Yeah.
And they bring it, bro. They all bring that drama. And that's, out of the three episodes, that was a good scene. It was a really good scene.
That was wild.
Roller coaster!
Oof. And for that to be in the middle of the three episodes Fred we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. And then for nothing to be resolved in 24, and then they had to take a break to do Calamity.
Oh, and then you could, and then Laura was like, "I would have had conversations." We're like, "Yeah, well, you missed it."
I'm glad she didn't, though.
And now we're
I think we needed it. We needed that time to be, because that's why we were all like, oh, "They're back.
Mm-hmm.
They're back.
What's gonna happen? What kind of energy is gonna happen?"
Just added to it. We were, God, we were like, "Whoo." Calamity was amazing, but God, we're back and it's still gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. So am I gonna assume we should probably get to your favorite part?
It's been a minute.
You want to talk about Aurum?
No.
Okay.
Let your ship sails fly. Let's talk about friendships. Oh my God. Let's talk about friendships. We love our friends here. We support them.
Just empower them.
In the past three episodes, he's been your platonic besties.
We only really get glimmers of it, but I really do like the dynamic between Chetney and Aurum, and not just to get on your nerves. I think it's just funny seeing these two little pipsqueaks, like, guys hanging out and having, like, young Aurum have to be sometimes the moral compass for old man Chetney.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the odd couple pairing. And Fern with almost anyone is guaranteed to be hilarious.
Super fun. Super fun.
How about you?
I would have to say Ashton in FCG, just because, like, that whole, like, oh, we're going back home thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little, because you could have two people who are from the same place just sort of distance themselves from each other and be like, oh, this place is traumatic for the both of us. Like, you remind me of my place and I don't want to be reminded of it. Mm-hmm. So they could have, but they didn't. Like, when questions were asked, they'd look at each other and be like, yeah, this is a shitty place. We're going back.
Yeah.
These are the things we dealt with. So I like that. There's a solidarity. Mm-hmm. And going back to your shitty hometown.
Yeah.
Even though I find it awesome. Next up, let's do humorous.
Jesus.
What? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Humorous? Okay. Humorous for me is Laudna and Imogen and that huge fight they had.
Okay. You know what? You can go fuck yourself. Okay, you don't have to be mean-spirited during this. Like, I know it's not your favorite part, but you don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be cruel, ma'am. No reason.
Just call me Delilah, baby.
Oh, you're such a Delilah.
Who would have thought? She's my favorite character of this campaign.
My favorite NPC.
It's Delilah.
It's Delilah.
Again, anyone with Fern. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Funny.
Come on.
It's just funny. I would say Chetney and Imogen.
Yeah.
True frenemies there.
Yeah. Folks. And then just the added layer of, like, they're married.
Yeah. Or, like, I love it because, like, I think Imogen's the only one that calls him Chet. And I love that nickname. And, like, having a nickname for someone, like, you kind of sort of hate.
Yeah. Hilarious. That gets on your nerves sometimes. Yeah.
All right, shit.
All right, shit. Sure. Okay. Very much that energy.
Okay.
What about romantic ships? I don't know if we've ever talked about those on this podcast.
You know what? I don't think we have. And I'm going to have to think really, really hard.
Okay.
For one that's really, you know what though? But I did clock a few things. Uh-huh. Just a few between, like, it was 3 episodes, so it wasn't a lot. But yeah. Some Lana and Imogen moments. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's quite a chemistry between them two. Huh. When Ashton picked up the bus, Lana was all like, oh, you'd be able to carry me around. And Imogen's like, I could carry you around. Which makes Lala smile and laugh. She really enjoyed that. Uh-huh. The first time Lana uses silvery barbs, she gets Imogen out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Gotta save her girl. Listen, gotta save her girl. And she did.
Uh-huh.
The excellent use of silvery barbs, by the way. Ooh, the angst moment on the ship still counts.
Yeah.
Because what's a love story without drama?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And like, we wouldn't feel this deeply about it.
What's this we?
If they were just friends. We!
Okay.
There's another moment where Lana tore out a chunk of her hair in solidarity with Imogen when she lost her hair. Okay? Listen, I'm reporting the facts, folks. That's all I'm doing.
I'm a journalist.
Okay? They're dropping the crumbs. I'm just following them. That's all I'm doing. And last but not least...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not least in the little bit, because this shit turned the tables on you. You folks who don't believe. The non-believers. This was for you.
Okay.
Imogen absolutely gets jealous when Dusk plays it's not flirtation at that moment. It's just a closeness there,
mm-hmm,
between Dusk and Lana in the seconds Imogen's face turned, was it 0.01
or like milliseconds? Yeah,
left her face, and she was all like, "Oh, this bitch!" Excuse me, she didn't like it, folks. If you don't believe me, rewatch the episode and zoom in.
Don't zoom in, please.
Zoom in, zoom in to the absolute displeasure that was on Imogen's face, and all they did was introduce each other. That's it.
Oh my God.
One compliment from a stranger and Imogen was ready to light this world on fire.
Someone's passionate today.
It's been a while. I had to get it all out.
It's true. It's true. It's a backlog.
I've been holding this in for forever.
Ooh.
That's episode 24, and that's episode 23, and that's episode
22. All right, folks. God, it's good to be back. Thank you for joining us today. We can't wait to see you next time as we fumble our way through this process.
We hope you'll join us next time when we react to Campaign 3, Episodes 25, 26, and 27. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Whiskey React.
Whether you like it neat, we like our stories on the rocks. So join us next time on Whiskey Reacts.
Oh, right. I forgot.
There's gotta be all of these bloopers at the end.
I remember that you forgot one.
It's like, I already knew what she laughed. I already know what you're laughing at. I already know what you're laughing at.
Literally, as soon as you said it, that's what I remember.
This has been a Cable Car production.